Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being with Julia Gordon-Bramer on News Talk STL.
Welcome to Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon-Bramer. This week's episode corresponds with the Hermit card in the tarot. The Hermit represents meditation, wisdom, and solitude. And who better to introduce these subjects than a Zen master and teacher of meditation? I want to first introduce Daigaku Rume from the Buddhist Council and the Confluence Zen Center here in St. Louis. Welcome.
Thank you, Julia.
So Daigaku, first off, maybe you could describe what Zen is, because I think people hear Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, they're not the same thing exactly, right?
I would think they are the same. Zen is one school of Mahayana Buddhism.
Okay.
It is the school of Mahayana Buddhism that emphasizes the importance of meditation as part of the practice.
Okay, but so, not all Buddhism does that then?
Well, it's a bit of a longer story, but in the Theravadin tradition, which we find in Southeast Asia, meditation is part of the life of the monks, the clergy.
Okay.
But in the Mahayana stream of Buddhism, Zen is really the school of Buddhism that concentrates on meditation.
Daigaku, you were in a Japanese monastery studying Zen for what, 27 years?
Something like that. Yeah, I lost track after a while. long time.
Tell us what that was like.
Well, Julie, I went in as a young person. I never expected to live that long. I originally thought 6 months or a year, but it turned out that it was more efficient, shall I say, to become a monk, because the life of a monk was designed to help people concentrate on what we think of as meditation or the life of Zen. And so I did that, and year after year, that I simply couldn't find a better place or imagine a better place. Mm-hmm. I had a world-class teacher. It was a traditional monastic setting where there were anywhere from 20 to 25 people. We supported ourselves growing our own vegetables and also going out begging, and so it was just hard to find or even imagine a better place to train in Zen practice.
Wow. So I just read an old biography of St. Francis, and that was part of his thing, going out begging. So that's a part of the Japanese monks' routine.
It is. It's disappearing because there are just not as many monks who are doing that anymore. But that goes all the way back to the time of the Buddha.
Oh, interesting.
The Buddha also as well would go out every morning to collect his food, and that tradition was passed both in the Theravadin tradition and the Mahayana tradition into China, Korea, and Japan. We did not do that every day, but that was part of our practice.
So it seems to me then that you would have a real detachment from material goods and you know, worldly possessions, right?
That was one of the advantages of being a monk. We didn't have to worry about money or supporting ourselves. It's a very simple life. We're not married. We don't have to worry about money. It's designed to help you focus. And what we're focusing on is what we're doing in the moment. It's as simple as that.
You became a high priest, as I understand, right?
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. I rather just think of myself now as a Zen priest.
Okay.
Who happens to be leading a small meditation group here in St. Louis. I rather focus or emphasize the horizontal connections we have rather than the vertical.
Okay. Oh, I love that. So horizontally, you went east across the Pacific to L.A., and you were there a number of years.
Well, first I was in San Francisco. I was there for 7 years. I was working for the parent organization. We were part of the Soto Zen sect.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to L.A. I was a priest there at a temple called Zenshuji, a Japanese-American temple.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been here in St. Louis, actually 8 years, almost exactly.
Yeah. And you are both a member of the, I want to get this right, well, I know you lead at the Confluence Zen Center, and the Buddhist Council you're a member of, correct?
Our group is part of the Buddhist Council, correct.
Okay. Yep. So tell me about the Buddhist scene here in St. Louis. Is there one? And maybe across the United States.
Well, frankly, I think Buddhism is one of the great religions that is slowly and steadily spreading across this country. Here in St. Louis, we have about 20 Buddhist groups of varying different kinds of Buddhism. And there is a council called the Buddhist Council, and we have three or four annual events that we support and produce.
Uh-huh. And I saw some of those online. I saw you had one, it was a previous year, a whole day of sitting. It was like an 8 or 12 hour day of...
Oh, we do that regularly at the Confluence Zen Center, but I don't know if there are other places that do that.
Yeah, that seems very challenging to somebody like me who has to move a lot, you know.
It takes a while to get used to it, let's say that. Many Americans are not used to sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
We typically sit on a round cushion on the floor, but we also have chairs for those who are challenged by that. It takes a while for the body to get used to it, but once you're used to it, it's just a very comfortable thing to do.
Yeah, okay. You know, I notice today in this sort of new agey spirituality, we have a term, mindfulness. I see it all the time. I see it on license plates and bumper stickers. And I wonder if people actually know what mindfulness is. I thought maybe you could address that.
That's an interesting question. I often say that Zen is mindfulness, but mindfulness as a movement is not Zen.
Oh, please explain.
Zen is a matter of being mindful of what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
moment by moment, activity by activity. The whole idea of Zen is just to be one with whatever activity, whatever task you have in that moment. So mm-hmm. I think of that as mindfulness. Rather than thinking about the past or the future, to really just concentrate on what you're doing, to do it for the sake of the task. A mindfulness as a movement is a form of Buddhism that is more closely associated, I would say, with Theravadan Buddhism. And the reason I say that mindfulness in that sense is not Zen is because the whole idea of Zen is to forget being mindful. In other words, as long as there's someone who's being mindful, there's still a separation there. And the whole idea of Zen is to eliminate that separation between that idea of me and that task or activity that you're doing.
Okay. So I remember reading, I believe it was Peace in Every Step by Thich Nhat Hanh, and he talked about washing the dishes and just being so fully in the motion and the feeling of the water and the suds and the goal of cleanliness. And, you know, and he of course said it much more beautifully than I just did. But that you would call Zen.
That I would call Zen. I mean, that is all an expression through words. Finally, words also are not necessary. So we often say, just do it. But even that idea of just is still an idea. So the idea there is to, by just doing things, to also get rid of those concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as there's an idea that you have to do something, there's still a separation.
Okay, so you're saying more become it.
That's right.
And
the fact is we already are that.
Which is kind of what the alchemist pursues, if you read on alchemy at all.
I think this is really the foundation of religion. You know, the idea of eliminating that separation. Mm-hmm. The teaching of Buddhism is that there really is no separation.
Yeah.
We create the separation.
Uh-huh.
So it's a matter of forgetting the ego. Finally.
Right, right.
Finally.
Even some tenets of Christianity and something I practice, A Course in Miracles, believes that the separation is all ego and it isn't really there. And we have to get back to the truth and the oneness. And
I think there are a lot of similarities in that.
Yeah. So in keeping mindful, truly mindful, not necessarily the mindfulness movement, we couldn't multitask, which Americans are famous for. I mean, we're always doing something and scrolling on our phones and what have you.
I agree with you. I think multitasking really isn't possible. That's a delusion. We can only do one thing at a time. And so Zen is very much the idea of just concentrate on one thing at a time.
Yeah, certainly one thing well. Yeah.
To do it completely. You know, just if you are washing the dishes, which you mentioned earlier, just do that.
Yeah. I think we've all had the feeling of talking to somebody and they're distracted and they're somewhere
thinking
else.
About something else.
Or glancing at their phone, or it's not a good feeling, and it isn't a connected feeling.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I think that's something we can all aspire to do, but it's more difficult to do than actually we think it is.
So Daigaku, I took a look at the Confluence Zen Center website, and they have really quite a lot on there. Some of your recorded teachings are online, as well as things that we can read. You keep up on Japanese festivals. You have Zen study groups. You have intro to Zen classes. Is there anything you would want to point out in either that or the Buddhist Council?
The Buddhist Council has an event coming up in June. I think it'll be June 4th this year. It will be held at MABA, Mid-America Buddhist Association, which is in Augusta, mm-hmm. Missouri. That'll be on a Sunday. That'll be a celebration of the Buddha's birth, mm-hmm. enlightenment, and death, all wrapped up in one day. I think everybody is welcome to attend that. In our case, we have what we call Beginner's Night, mm-hmm. at the Confluence Zen Center. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is interested in learning how to do meditation, I can give them a quick instruction on Beginner's Night. That's usually the first Monday evening of the month from 6:30. And then we sit from 7 to 7:40, and everybody's welcome.
Oh, that's great. And when you say sit, you mean on a cushion in silence, right? Just maybe doing some breathing exercises?
That's right. I mean, uh-huh. traditionally we sit on a round cushion, which is on top of a rectangular cushion. We're sitting on the floor. If people are challenged by that, they can sit in a chair. We have chairs.
And this is the Zazen practice.
This is the practice of Zazen. Zazen literally means sitting Zen. So that's the word we use for meditation. Mm-hmm. In a larger context, we aspire to practice that in whatever we're doing. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of sitting and doing meditation, yes, we do sit on a cushion. We're facing the wall. On Beginner's Night, we divide that 40 minutes into 20 minutes of sitting, 5 minutes of a walking meditation, and then 15 more minutes of sitting, just to help people get used to that idea of sitting for a longer time.
Great. My next guest, Shai Tubali, wrote the Llewellyn's Book of Meditations. And gosh, I think that he's got like 35 different kinds of meditations from around the world, different ways to do it. And I didn't know there were so many. So Zen pretty much practices just the sitting and walking, or are there many within the Zen practice?
There are different ways of sitting when you're actually sitting. One of my teacher's favorite ways of instructing people was just warm the cushion. Mm. And many people
kind of just be there, right?
just be there. This is a hint, I think, to let go of your ideas that you're bringing to meditation. Everybody brings ideas of what they should do or what they shouldn't do. Many people think they shouldn't be thinking, et cetera, and just be there. Mm. Easier said than done, but it's, as an experiment, it's interesting.
Yeah. So, Daigaku, when we were chatting on the phone, you said you might want to share a favorite story or a poem.
There's one poem that I'm very fond of, Julia. It's a Japanese poem. In Japanese, it has 5 lines, but in English translation, it has 4 lines. And it goes like this. This very moment. Just think of only this. The past cannot return. The future cannot be known. Mm. Human beings can only think of either the past or the future. It is impossible for us to think of the moment now, to perceive the moment now, shall we say. Mm. Not even the Buddha can do that. And that may sound contradictory. After all, we're talking together, you're understanding what I'm saying. But the idea there is that there's always a nanosecond separation between something we perceive, like a sound, and our actual perception of it. By the time we realize, oh, he's knocking on this counter, that sound is already gone.
Yeah.
So we can think of the past, and we're often thinking about something that's happened in the past. And a lot of times we're a little bit uncomfortable or unhappy with the way something turned out. Right. Somebody said something to us, or somebody didn't say something to us, or on and on we can become obsessed about something that happened yesterday or last week and so on. Likewise, the future, we can think about the future, we can plan for the future, but the future, as this poem says, is unknowable. Mm-hmm. A lot of times things don't turn out the way we expect they will or hope they will.
Yeah. Or maybe they turn out better than we ever imagined.
Absolutely. Either way, that's very much true.
The present moment, though, is the only place of peace then.
Regardless of what we think about the past or the future, that's happening now. That's the irony. Yeah. Whatever we think about the past, which we cannot change or hold on to, or the future, which we cannot know, we can predict, but we can't know, it's all happening now. Mm-hmm. That's the contradiction. So Zen is really about letting go of what we think about the past or might happen in the future and really concentrating, focusing on what we're doing in the moment.
Great. Well, Daigaku, it has been a pleasure. How can people reach you?
I think, first of all, to go to our website, that would be confluencezen.org. And you can reach us by phone or by email. Should be listed on that website.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Julia. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Does this modern world feel like a bit too much sometimes? Next up, we're going to meet Shai Tubale, author of more than 25 books. His latest, Llewellyn's Complete Book of Meditation, is our book giveaway this week on mysticfix.com. Shai is a teacher of transcendent states of consciousness, a researcher at the University of Leeds, and a perfect example of the hermit card and the wisdom he embodies. You're listening to News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1.
This is Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. In our first segment, Daigaku Rume gave us the scoop on Zen Buddhism and the life in a Japanese Zen monastery. Now, in alignment with the Hermit Tarot card, learn to escape the modern world yourself, mentally, if not physically, with Shai Tubale. With more than 20 publications in English, German, and Hebrew, Shai is also an academic researcher and a teacher of transcendent states of consciousness. And he's going to give us some tips on meditation. I am speaking with Mr. Shai Tubale, who is an author of, oh my goodness, over a dozen books. Most recently, Llewellyn's Complete Book of Meditation, which explores 35 meditation techniques. Shai, I had no idea there were so many techniques. You know, I've heard of course, transcendental meditation. I know just sort of my regular meditative practice of just following the breath and being quiet. And I've heard of walking meditations. But beyond that, I was really surprised. Can you tell me a little bit about how you found all of these techniques and where they come from?
Well, of course, that's exactly, I think, was my incentive for creating this book, because I think that that there are many meditation techniques that have been developed in many different traditions throughout the world that have remained unexplored, and that can become enormously beneficial alternatives for the traditionally known practice of meditation. Because when we think of meditation, we usually have this image of a figure sitting in a serene look, a serene expression, right? In some kind of a half lotus or full lotus position and with closed eyes. But meditation has been historically so many things for so many different purposes. We find meditation in Judaism, in the Sufi tradition that belongs to Islam. We find it in Christianity. We find it as prayer and as walking meditation, or as dance meditation, or as cathartic breathing meditation. So this is a celebration, I think, of the world of meditation.
Wonderful. And so to explain to our listeners and viewers, meditation itself is what? You know, I know we've all heard the term. I have my idea of it. But if we can express it in all those different ways, what is the end result?
Right. Well, we need some kind of device that helps us to experience reality directly, the deeper reality of ourselves and life, or even divinity. So, because we can use prayer, for instance, or belief, or following some commandments of some religion, but only meditation enables us to enter, come into contact with the nature of our own consciousness, with the secrets of our own mind. So meditation is any technique, any process that helps us to have this direct experience of deeper realities by stilling our mind, stilling our consciousness, our intellect, our emotions.
Okay, so it's more letting that subconscious rise up, correct?
You can say that, definitely. That's a beautiful way to put it, depending on how you define subconscious. Oh. Because, you know, often we approach the subconscious as the reservoir of repressed emotions. But if we understand it as the multi-layered, invisible being or consciousness of our mind, then that would be definitely the subconscious.
So rather than Freud's repressed layers, you're talking more a Jungian collective unconscious, maybe.
Exactly.
Just trying to relate.
that's beautiful. Yes, because we have these layers, and every layer of our mind and consciousness contains certain secrets. For instance, some of the secrets that meditation can reveal to us is our ability to experience directly universal love and universal compassion. And this is enabled only if you tap into a certain layer of your mind and your heart, where you can realize this kind of universal capacity.
And I think most immediately, even for the less experienced meditator, it's just to calm you, correct? So you have been teaching about meditation for use with trauma and fear and uncertainty and anxiety and depression. And I noticed even screen addiction was right on there. Interesting. So it's a tool for modern society that we really need today, correct?
Exactly. Yes, we need to differentiate between two things. One is purposes of meditation and the other is benefits of meditation. Now, our society is naturally very interested in meditation. Also, our research is interested in the benefits of meditation. And in terms of the benefits of meditation, we found out that it reduces stress and anxiety, that it can help control pain. It cannot eliminate pain, but it can enhance our ability to cope with pain. It can lengthen our attention span. It can reduce age-related memory loss and improve sleep, decrease blood pressure. The list is very long. But when you are interested in the purposes of meditation, that is why it has been, what it has been designed for, then you realize that meditation, for instance, does one thing that is very beautiful, I think. There was the 20th teacher mystic called Yogananda. And he said once, meditation is like giving a hug to yourself. And this is just one example of how you can use meditation, for instance, for self-love.
Nice. So you talk about all of these 35 meditative techniques. Can you tell us about one of them more specifically?
Oh, yes. And perhaps let us surprise ourselves by turning a tradition where we would not normally expect to find meditation. For instance, in mystical Judaism, we find a technique called hitbodedut, which means isolating or secluding oneself. And it's all about sitting in a room or walking in the fields or wherever you feel that you are isolated and safe enough, and simply speaking to God or to the divine or to the universe, whatever name we want to call it, simply talking to it as if to a friend. So you are pouring out your heart and you are expressing your deepest emotions. You're making fun with the divine and you are telling about your trouble and so on and so on. So you are opening yourself and you are creating a communion with the higher reality simply by talking very very honestly and straightforwardly. So that's just one example.
And that's something anyone can do with no practice, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's I think it's so simple. And some of the meditations are actually so simple.
And that, that's it. I think people think it must be hard. And you read about classes and workshops and they think, okay, there's all this effort and maybe a financial expenditure. And so it's really something that comes very naturally. I mean, in my own experience, I think I was meditating as a child and I wasn't aware of it exactly, but it was just my calm spacing out. in later exactly. years, you know, I've learned that most people know how to pray and whether they believe in God or source or spirit, you know, and they ask for help. But in my experience, meditation is more about that receiving and getting the guidance and the inner wisdom and the calm.
Exactly, exactly. Prayer can become a meditation. And I do have some prayers that are presented as meditation techniques, which again, might come as a surprise because we would not think of prayer as meditation necessarily. But it all depends on your inner position. What you what intention you insert, you add to the prayer. If you are interested in reaching a state of communion with the divine, with higher reality, if you are interested in emptying yourself through the prayer in order to become an empty vessel, to be filled with, let's call it divine grace, then that would become a meditation rather than asking for help.
Okay. Now, Shai, you have quite a background. I mean, you have psychology, philosophy, yogic traditions, Eastern mystical thought. How did you bring that all together and synthesize it into what you do?
Oh, I love this question. Well, I would say I'm interested in truth. You see, I'm interested in discovering more about the nature of our consciousness. This has been my research. Sometimes I have researched this subjectively through meditation, for instance, through yoga, through Eastern philosophy, sometimes objectively as an academic philosopher. There you observe the phenomena that we call consciousness and mind, and sometimes psychologically, to understand how we can unravel all those emotional entanglements by using the power of our own mind. So my interest is in truth, and I think that all these disciplines are interested in truth in their own way.
Yeah. I just thought I'd tell you, I didn't bother to change out of my yoga clothes. I came straight from a class and I thought you wouldn't mind.
Not at all.
So, what, Shai, would you like to leave our listeners with? If you could give them some general direction on, you know, if I'm just the average person who's flipped over on the radio and and caught you or catching the video cast and say, I want to try this, but I don't know my first step. How would you direct that person?
Well, if I may recommend reading the book, the book, the complete book of meditation, then I think what it contains, of course, it doesn't exist only in the book, but the principle behind it is experiment with these 35 meditation practices, because meditation is not just one thing, and each time you may discover a different meditation that is more suitable for a certain stage of your development and for your particular needs. So it's very important to choose a meditation that truly excites and thrills you, because if it's something that you will really want to return to, if it's something that you will not find yourself considering treating as another chore, another duty. We have so many duties. We have our checklist is fully packed. So we need to have this kind of meditation, but the only way that meditation can draw us to it will be by finding those meditations that are exciting, that feel like adventures rather than duties.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, so it's not drudgery then. Well, I am very excited to get into your book, The Complete Book of Meditation by Llewellyn Publishers. And I should say that Llewellyn is offering one free copy as a giveaway for one of our lucky listeners. So, Shai, is there a way to reach you if somebody wanted to reach out? Do you do social network or anything like that?
Well, of course. First of all, on my official website, shaitubali, shaitubali.com. There are not only blog entries and materials and videos, but also events that are all broadcast online. So this makes it very easy. But if you are looking for a way to simply study for free, and there are plenty of videos on my YouTube official channel, which is again Shai Tubali. And this contains the channel contains numerous videos, including guided meditations and explanations about ways that we can integrate meditation into our daily life.
Wonderful. Well, you're going to have a new subscriber in me. I promise you that.
Thank you
so much for your time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Julia. Thank you for your questions.
Thank you, Shai. If you want a chance to win a free copy of Shai Tubali's book, or if you'd like to be one of our free tarot card readings in the third segment, you can register for our giveaway on mysticfix.com. Coming up, everyone's favorite, tarot card readings by yours truly. You're listening to Mystic Fix on News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1.
You're listening to Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL.
And we're back with Mystic Fix. It's time for the tarot card readings for our lucky callers.
Our spiritual journey tonight will begin.
Can't outrun your fate.
Let me tell you about you.
I know who you are, what you are, and why you have come.
Take a good look at these cards, young man. They contain all the secrets of the universe.
What does it say?
Hello?
Hello, this is Julia from Mystic Fix. Is this Paul?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Great, great. You got a question for me?
Oh, for sure. Let me think of a good one. let's see.
Can be a subject. It can be, you know, it could be very specific, or it can be vague, like, you know, money, love, career, something like that.
Let's do love.
All right.
Now, does it have to be about me?
Ideally, yes.
Okay. So let's see. So love would be a good one.
Okay.
How do you see my love life going?
Okay.
In the future.
Okay. So am I looking for love at love in general for you, or am I looking at you and one other person that's already in your life?
Me and one other person that's already in my life.
Okay. Okay, so it's not bad exactly, but it could be better, and there could be some things you can do to change it. We start with the Three of Pentacles in reverse, which is saying that we haven't made a formal commitment yet. And so whether this is just as feeling really casual, or whether you're talking about engagement, you know, commitment can mean different things to different people. But I am seeing it's sort of open, it's sort of casual. We've got both the Queen of Pentacles and the Queen of Swords, which is just telling me she's busy. And there is an interesting thing, Paul, because she seems to have some leadership qualities. She seems to be a career person. And I'm looking at you like you've got Five of Pentacles, so you're not feeling as powerful as her in the world. However, I see some things changing sooner rather than later. You've got the Nine of Cups in reverse as your card for the next 6 months. This, I call it a card of attitude and gratitude. It says, things aren't perfect, but it's pretty good. So, you know, you seem to appreciate each other. You seem to be around each other. But honestly, the work for both of you looks kind of all-consuming. So your next card is the Six of Pentacles in reverse. This is sort of our people pleaser card. I do see you giving her things, offering her help. You know, it doesn't have to be gifts. It can be service. It can be just love. But I am seeing you there for her in her time of need. And this time next year, you got the Wheel of Fortune in reverse, which tells me that the money does affect the love life. And it may be just that you don't feel you can go out like you want, or it might be that, you know, for you, commitment might be living together and you don't feel that you're financially able to do that yet. There is a sense that you need to sort of catch up to her in some way. So I think you're on path for that. It just doesn't look like it's happening as fast as you would like. I would also say that she would probably really appreciate the commitment. So if you're ready for it, you know, it has to be honest. It has to feel true. But she just looks to me like she's with you by your side. You know, I think she's a keeper. And it's just if you want to go there. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Great hearing from you. You take care. Before we go, if you'd like to meet me in person and try a tarot card reading for yourself, I'll have a table at the KC Metaphysical Fair at the Ameristar Casino in St. Charles on April 7th, 8th, and 9th. Check out my social networks or write me at mysticfix.com for more information. I want to thank our sponsor, Comma Flight, at the Chosen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. Redefining the dance between the masculine and the feminine. Visit at Comma Flight. That's K-A-M-A. FLIGHT on Instagram for videos, links, and more information. Well, that's another episode of Mystic Fix. If you enjoyed this, please like and subscribe to the podcast or videocast. Subscriptions are the way we get found in searches, and it really helps. You're listening to Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Until next time. All right. Well, the commentator and executive producer of The Vic Porcelli Show, Ken Williams, has just stepped in. So we're going to give him a short reading.
I'm kind of excited about this.
Excellent. Shuffle the cards a little, Ken. This is something that the phone people can't do. I shuffle for them. But we're getting your vibes in here, your energy.
My mom used to say, I don't cut the cards because I don't want to cut my throat.
Do you have a question in mind, a subject you'd like me to look at, or do you just want me to see what I see for you?
I just say go for it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay.
A lot of knives there.
They're swords, actually. Oh. And what I will tell you is the second half of the year looks really good for you.
Oh, good.
Right now, you look like you're processing something. So this is the Ten of Swords, and it feels like... is this hitting home already?
Well, yeah, we're expanding so quickly here at the station that they've given me a lot of new duties and shows.
Yeah.
And so I am processing all of them.
Yeah, and it feels hard, honestly. It feels just like a very difficult situation with the Ten of Swords.
It's one of the situations where I've always risen to the occasion of saying, okay, pull it together, and you'll get through it, and I always do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And with the Hanged Man, I have no doubt that you will get through, although the Hanged Man is kind of in a limbo. He's kind of hanging. What I like to point out, he hangs from his foot, not his neck. He's not
good.
Dying. And he's also got this halo, this like enlightenment. So you are becoming enlightened and learning in your stuckness.
Okay.
So I am seeing this limbo, 1 to 3 months of more limbo.
Okay.
Here's the other thing, and this is so much of this we do to ourselves, okay? But you've got the Nine of Wands in reverse. When I say a card's in reverse, it's upside down as it faces me. And this is about being self-conscious. It's about meeting your requirements and do they like me and did I sound good and,
Okay.
And did I give a smart answer and that sort of thing. So I see you being kind of hard on yourself in general that way. What I would say is you were attracted to this job for a reason. And you know, I believe that I can read your cards because we're connected just by being alive. I call that life force God. I don't tell people how to do God, what to call God. That's your business. But if you can go there, you can say, okay, you know, I'm hooked into the God source. I'm here for a reason. I am doing my job, doing God's will, you know.
Okay.
And just kind of be a little more relaxed in that. Now, your top card is the Magician in reverse. And this is not so different from the one I just read because the Magician has all the tools on his table to make magic. But in reverse, you're not believing in your own magic.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Because you are a very seasoned radio guy. I mean, going way, way back, and you and I have talked that we knew each other in the 90s.
Yep.
So, but I'm just seeing you doubting. You know, magicians think are about performance, right?
Wow. So, yeah, that one's really interesting because I'm learning a lot of new equipment.
Oh, okay.
And then so those tools.
So am I doing
about this
job.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And it makes sense to me that I do question sometimes. In fact, yesterday I did another show and I had to have someone come in and show me again what was going on with this particular piece of equipment. So that kind of fits in.
There's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the good news.
Yeah.
This is the second half of the year. So, you know, I this tends to be where we are now and this is where we will be this time next year.
Okay.
So the Sun, it is just saying that the next 6 months, really happy. You know, the sun is bright and shiny and think of it also like a spotlight. So which is great for someone in your industry. It's a lot of attention and very positive. I am seeing you healing from the hard stuff. So if the Three of Swords has to show up as yours is, it's in reverse. And that's what we want because it says the hard times are over and you just feel more healed and more relaxed. And this Nine of Swords in reverse is similar. What I like to point out about the Nine of Swords. First of all, swords in the tarot are our thoughts. So, so it's not about any violence or being attacked. None of these swords are attacking her. They're stacked on the wall and she's turned away from them. I point that her world is fine. She's cozy in a bed. She even has a comforter. In reverse, you're just saying you're facing these thoughts now. You're handling the hard stuff.
Okay.
So I see this as a real growth year for you. And I would say my piece of advice is to drop the worry and any insecurities because you've got this.
That's fantastic news. It really is.
Great. Okay. Well, now you have had a tarot card reading by me.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
About time. I've been wanting to for so long.
Yeah. All right.
Uh-huh.
Before we go, I want to thank our sponsor, CommaFlight. Want an amazing spiritual weekend getaway? There's a new CommaFlight weekend workshop, April 27th through 30th at the Cho Zen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. Deepening intimacy through somatic movement, CommaFlight distills and blends the dynamism of contact improv, the serene flow of Watsu, the deep tissue release of Thai massage, and the exhilaration of acro yoga. CommaFlight comprises a new modality for reanimating the body. Visit at CommaFlight, that's CammaFlight, on Instagram for videos, links, and more information. So glad you could join us for another episode of Mystic Fix. If this is your kind of programming, please like and subscribe to the podcast or videocast. Subscriptions get us found in searches and it really helps. You're listening to Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Until next time.